When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. All of our great ESPN stations across the country, Sirius XM80, and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, with you. And yes, money ain't a thing for a lot of teams yesterday in the NFL. And the Atlanta Falcons made the biggest splash, getting Kirk Cousins on a four-year, $180 million deal, $100 million guaranteed, which puts his all-in career earnings of guaranteed money over $300 million. Morning, everybody. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Speaking of money, parlay hit last night. Appreciate them Toronto Raptors. Knew they would lose.
But not by a lot.
Nuggets, but not by 19 and a half. Thank goodness. Appreciate them beers, man. That's two parlays in a row. I mean, we're building.
How many parlays in a row has Kirk Cousins hit?
Oh, what is it, three, four in a row now? I mean, the contract negotiation with Minnesota the first time around, the contract extension with Minnesota, which was all guaranteed money over the life of those two deals, and then this contract, which gives him $100 million in guaranteed money, $90 million through the first two seasons. Outstanding work by Kirk Cousins. Or according to Quavo now, Kirk Frost, because of all of the ice on his chain. So, I mean, listen, like this was a phenomenal deal by the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know that there was a number that another team would match that would have exceeded making it worth it for the Atlanta Falcons. What I mean by that is this. It was clear and obvious they were going to be the highest bidders because they had the most to gain.
Right.
Considering the division that they play in, the NFC South, which is the lowest of bars to clear in the NFL, you throw a bag of money at Kirk Cousins, you not only have competent quarterback play, you have the best quarterback in the division. And I don't think it's particularly close. I mean, number two is probably Baker Mayfield. Derek Carr is three, and Bryce Young is four. I mean, you feel good about that situation. And I hate to feel like the guy that's making the Captain Obvious statement, but this is not revisionist history when I say this. This was the most obvious move in the free agency cycle after Raheem Morris said what he said at the scouting combine. He noted it, and he said that the Atlanta Falcons probably wouldn't have had a head coaching vacancy if they had better quarterback play. We knew he was going to be in the market to upgrade at quarterback. When you think about how he was undone in his first go-round as a head coach down in Tampa, he had trick-or-treat Jameis Winston. And we all know how that goes. I mean, you knew that it was not going to be a situation. Josh Freeman was quarterback once upon a time for him. Like, you have all of these guys, and you're wondering, well, how are you going to have success? Now you don't have to worry about it if you're Raheem Morris. You don't have to worry about it. This is a situation now where you have competent quarterback play. You got somebody that's going to step up, somebody that's going to be able to be consistent, productive. Kirk Cousins has 7 4,000-yard passing seasons. So you don't have to worry about the struggles at the quarterback position. You know you got that in Kirk Cousins, and that's one less thing to worry about your second time around as a head coach if you're Raheem Morris.
Absolutely. We're showing the graphics on the television side. Last year, Falcons quarterback, 62% completion percentage, all the quarterbacks together, Kirk Cousins, 70%. You know that you're going to get a certain amount of production from him. You know that he is a great leader, and this was a piece of the puzzle that was missing for the Atlanta Falcons. And good on them for going out and being aggressive, for making this move, putting them in a position to contend for the division and hopefully the playoffs. And I can't say enough about Kirk Cousins' ability to secure the bag.
Yes.
You said over $300 million guaranteed in career earnings.
Ooh.
We always talk about, is Kirk Cousins elite? Well, this is certainly a part of his game where he's elite. He is elite at securing the bag.
He has found the sweet spot of being good enough for teams to want, but not good enough for a team to keep forever, which actually allows him to earn more money.
Yes.
As crazy as that sounds, because what happens is guys like Mahomes or Burrow or Josh Allen or any of these big-time quarterbacks get a huge deal. They get an enormous amount of money. They get extended, where at some point we look at them and say they're actually paying, like being paid under value. Kirk Cousins has an ability where teams are like, yeah, we want him for a few years, and we'll have to let him hit the open market. And as a result, he's always made the highest paid player because he's always in the open market. All these other guys are never actually in the open market. Kirk Cousins has mastered this of like being A minus. Because A plus means you're just on the same team for the whole time and you have set for life money, but it doesn't mean you hit free agency. It's remarkable what this guy has done. And now Atlanta is sitting here and their odds to win the Super Bowl go from 50 to 1, this per ESPN bet, 50 to 1 to 30 to 1. Win the NFC, 18 to 1, now 12 to 1. Win the NFC South, plus 120, now minus 110, which basically means that they're the favorites for the division. So the question becomes, how good do they have to be to justify the signing?
Well, I think they've got to be a playoff team. They've got to win the division and be in the postseason.
Have to.
I would say it would be a massive disappointment in this year with the current state of affairs with the other starting quarterbacks in that division. If they did not win the division, it'd be a massive disappointment. This is a double-digit win team. This is a division winner. Once we get into the tournament, we'll see what happens with the luck of the draw and who they play in the wild card round. But this should be a team that wins the division, hosts a home playoff games, and who knows what happens once you go from there. Nobody had it on the board that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who had an open quarterback competition last year between Baker Mayfield and, Kyle Trask, would be a team that would not only win their division, but actually win a playoff game against the team that was in the Super Bowl the previous year representing the NFC, and that was the Philadelphia Eagles. Nobody thought that that was possible, but that happened because they got into the tournament and they had a home playoff game. The Atlanta Falcons can follow that same blueprint, that same script, and based on where this roster is, comparatively speaking to what we saw from the Bucs in 2023, the Falcons are better. Mm-hmm. So I fully expect that they will be in the playoffs, and then it'll be up to Kirk Cousins and Raheem Morris to make magic happen once they get to that spot. But that has to be the floor for the Atlanta Falcons. Anything else has to be considered a massive disappointment.
So not only getting into the playoffs, but winning a game. Basically, if you can't do what Tampa Bay did last year in this division with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback and that personnel on the team, it would be a disappointment.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's everybody. There's a reason that everybody said they were a quarterback away, and he's the best possible available quarterback, and they went out and got him. Plus, from an X's and O's perspective, there are similarities to his previous situation. I mean, Kevin O'Connell, the head coach in Minnesota, where he was successful.
Yep.
Zach Robinson, his offensive coordinator now in Atlanta. Both of them worked with Sean McVay. Both of them Belichick draft picks. I had to find a way to work that in. And that they're running basically the same offense. So it's not like Kirk Cousins is going to learn something that he hasn't already mastered.
Yeah.
He's going to be the one helping everybody else learn this offense that Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson are going to put in. And maybe this is not a big deal, CeCe, you have to tell me, but I would assume it is, playing indoors. Right? I mean,
I don't know if that's what you want, playing on turf coming off of an Achilles
injury. Okay, so it's not a good thing, actually.
I mean, that's the one thing, because, I mean, artificial surfaces, you usually see more injuries, and coming off of a major lower body injury, that has to be a bit of a concern. But that's where the offensive line comes into play for me, Ev. Like, the Atlanta Falcons have a decent offensive line. Last year, they ranked 11th in pass block win rate. But then the other thing that you have to factor in is how good the Falcons' running game is. That offensive line moves people, and you got two running backs that can make it happen between Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson. So I think they have all of the ingredients to protect Kirk Cousins as he works his way back from the injury. And by the time he gets his feet under him, November, December, on into January in playoff-style football, he should be ready to be at his best. And that should bode well for the Atlanta Falcons' outlook once we start talking about getting to the postseason.
The other thing, we're talking about a team that we just said the expectation is to win the division and win a playoff game, right? It is rare that you have that team and then also say they have their own pick in the top 10. They have the 8th pick in the draft still.
You think they should get aggressive and get a quarterback?
You
always say draft a quarterback when you want one, when you need one.
That is juicy.
Who better to draft a quarterback than the Atlanta Falcons, where you can have him sit, develop behind an amazing leader and a guy who has great habits in Kirk Cousins.
And you could not be more right. Absolutely correct.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. Say that again.
Ooh, get him, Smalls.
You're right. That is exactly what they should do. They're not going to do it.
I listen when you talk, Evan, and I think
I don't actually listen when I talk.
They're a perfect team to execute your quarterback theory. Draft one when you want one, not when you need one.
They got to get Dallas Turner. They got to get the pass rusher from Alabama Crimson Tide. They have to. They don't have a lot of edge pass rush pressure. I mean, they got Grady Jackson. Grady Jarrett, who's an absolute dog in the middle of that at defensive tackle. They've got David Onyemata, who's a fine player. But, I mean, Calais Campbell is an impending free agent. We'll see what ends up happening with him. But I feel like they've got to get a premier edge rusher. They really don't have one right now. Mm-hmm. They swung and missed on Bud Dupree, who was a free agent from the Tennessee Titans. That didn't necessarily work out. So I just think they've got to find it. They've got the ingredients in the back end of the defense. I think the interior of the defense is solid, but they've got to get a premier edge rusher. And I think Dallas Turner would fit the bill. They've got to find a way to put pressure on the opposing quarterback off the edge. And you know that if you plan on contending against playoff caliber teams, that's going to have to be something that you do. Like you win by being able to protect your passer and being able to affect the other team's passer. Right now, the Atlanta Falcons, the way that defense is built, is from back to front. And it's not necessarily a bad thing because Raheem Morris is secondary coach. But you do have to find guys up front that can get after the quarterback. It can't be manufacturing pressure every single down. And so that's what the Atlanta Falcons are going to be tasked with for the rest of the offseason, finding guys that are dynamic off the edge that can provide pass rush help.
The other side of this is that Minnesota lost him, obviously. They did not make that decision to give him the guaranteed $100 million over 4 years, $180 all in. They went out last night per reports and signed Sam Darnold, a one-year up $10 million deal. He was with San Francisco. We know him, obviously, with the Jets. Did not have a good stint in Carolina, goes to San Francisco, backs up Brock Purdy for a year, and now is potentially going to be the starting quarterback for Minnesota, also known as the 11th pick in the draft with Minnesota, is going to be a quarterback if one is available, if they do not trade up to maybe get one, because now, and we'll get to this as the show rolls on here, but at 11 Minnesota, 13 or 12 Denver, 13 with the Raiders, all three of those teams you have to keep an eye on for potentially trading up for a quarterback or potentially taking a quarterback with those picks at 11, 12, and 13. But the huge news yesterday, in a huge day in the NFL, certainly Kirk Cousins to the Atlanta Falcons. Also, there is a player who left one team to go to another team that is getting tons of hate. We will get to that coming up after CeCe has this from Granger.
Yes, for the ones who get it done, like the Atlanta Falcons front office signing Kirk Cousins, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Wow. Little fly, Eagles, fly. Saquon Barkley now part of the chorus. Unsportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com for more. Huge news yesterday, NFL free agency. Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles, leaving the Giants. And while there's a football conversation to be had, The battle amongst words yesterday was certainly the conversation, as Tiki Barber, former Giant, WFAN in New York, had to say that basically, Saquon, you are dead to me. Now, he did it tongue-in-cheek. He did it kind of laughing for on-air purposes. And Saquon Barkley tweeted back saying, you've been a hater since I got to New York, and all the dead to me talk, don't smile in my face when you see me. Listen, there are businesses and companies in real life where you feel loyal to and you don't feel comfortable walking across the street, even if they pay you a dollar more. Some people, small percentage, less than 5%, would probably say that. If we're going to sit here and think that sports is one of those companies that loyalty amongst players, not executives, salespeople, marketing, whatever, I'm talking about amongst players. If anyone is insane enough to think that there's a such thing as loyalty amongst players and teams, you have literally not paid attention to sports for the last 30 years. There is no such thing as loyalty anymore.
Why would Saquon Barkley be loyal to the Giants? They had every opportunity to keep him. Why would he say, oh, I'm not going to go within the division or go to your rival? Why would he in any way be loyal to them when they had the opportunity to be loyal to him and pay him what he wanted?
You wouldn't. And based on what we heard from Jordan Ronan, who covers the Giants as their beat writer for us, I mean, he said that the Giants didn't have any discussions when it came to contract talks this offseason. So it was clear that they were showing him the door.
Right.
I guess they would have liked to have him back at a steep discount. But if you're Saquon Barkley, if you can get north of $12 million a year and set the bar this free agency cycle for running backs, why wouldn't you do that? As hard a time as running backs have had getting paid over the last several seasons, why would you scoff at what the Philadelphia Eagles put on the table? 3 years, $37.5 million? Can't turn that down.
No.
That's financial security for the rest of your life for you and your family. So I don't begrudge Saquon for doing it at all. And beyond that, just the messenger with the whole loyalty bit, that coming from Tiki Barber, that's rich, Smalls. That's real rich. On multiple fronts, dog? You talking about loyalty? Like, people don't forget, Tiki, especially with some of the things you did, bro. People don't forget. Just going to leave it at that.
I won't touch that.
Please don't.
I'm not going
please
to.
Please don't.
Don't worry.
Please don't.
Don't worry. And I'll touch a lot of things on this show. That ain't one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, now, here's the thing that I also want to add to this. The Giants made the right move. You should not pay running backs that kind of money. And the only reason the Eagles are paying a running back that kind of money is because they think they're inches away from winning it all, right? Or getting to the Super Bowl again. They got there a couple of years ago, and they think that this guy is so good to help their quarterback that they feel like, hey, we can do this. And they made other moves around that yesterday. You know what the Giants did instead? The Giants made, and I'm not a Giants fan, at least not yet until Belichick gets here potentially, but the reality is the Giants made good moves. They got an offensive lineman in Runyon to protect the quarterback. They got Jermaine Illuminor, an offensive lineman, to protect the quarterback. They went out, and the big move, trading a second and fifth to get Brian Burns and extended him, the guy you love, CeCe, to rush the passer on the opposite side of Kayvon Thibodeau. That's the right move. The Giants had a great day yesterday. We are warped in this loyalty argument in sports that is so non-existent. Johnny Damon went from the Red Sox to the Yankees. Right? Wade Boggs did the same kind of thing. Shaq left the Lakers. Kobe, may rest in peace, ass out. We forget that. Like, this has happened for so many years. The idea that Saquon Barkley should not go to the Eagles? Are you kidding me? The Giants had a great day. You should not pay him that much. You're not good enough. The Giants set themselves up yesterday to actually get good because of the moves they made.
Well, yeah, now they have an identity on the defensive side of the ball, and they're building their team the right way. They're building it inside out, front to back. I mean, think about what they did last offseason in extending Andrew Thomas, All-Pro, extending Dexter Lawrence, All-Pro. Kayvon Thibodeau made huge strides. I mean, he's a double-digit sack guy now, Pro Bowl-level player. And then you bookend him with Brian Burns? I mean, think about it.
It's better than Saquon.
You have the makings of a devastating pass rush with your front four. And stop me where you've seen that before with the New York Giants. And how has that ended up for the team?
I won't touch that either as a Patriots fan.
No, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. Two. Like, when you have a front four that's going to be able to rush the way that the Giants on paper should be able to rush in 2024 – you feel good about it. I mean, you feel like that's going to allow you to do high-level winning in the future. It might not happen right away, but the fact is you're investing in your defensive front. Those guys have got a long shelf life, not like running backs. Those guys are going to be around for the better part of the next decade. They're all in their mid-20s. So, I mean, the Giants have years. They have a extended window to rebuild this roster and figure out what the hell they're doing at quarterback. But I absolutely love how they've reallocated the resources. And I'm with Ev. A running back is a finishing piece. He's not a cornerstone piece. And so with this move, with the Giants allowing Saquon Barkley to walk out of the door, it just cements the fact that the Giants made a mistake way back when and taking him with the second overall pick in 2018 when they were clearly going through a rebuild.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If the guy doesn't get to a second contract and he's been as productive as Saquon has been, then you realize you weren't in a position as a franchise to take a running back. You didn't have the luxury of doing that. The Philadelphia Eagles can do that because they've been in the postseason each of the last 2 years. And you're talking about each of the last 3 years, and you're talking about a team that was in the Super Bowl in 2022. Adding Saquon Barkley to that offense makes it that much more dynamic. And I'm excited to see how good Saquon Barkley actually is, Smalls.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the one thing we don't actually really know.
And he's from Pennsylvania, went to Penn State. Like, come on.
He's from the Bronx. But you know,
he lived in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, sure, yeah. But here's what I say. We don't know how good Saquon Barkley is. We don't. The Giants' offensive line hasn't been good. They've got Andrew Thomas, but the offensive line has not been good.
Right.
The Philadelphia Eagles' offensive line led the league in run block win rate last year.
Mm.
That's how good they are. So even without Jason Kelce, they just extended Landon Dickerson. They have Jordan Mayata. They've got Lane Johnson, who's one of the best tackles in the game. Cam Jurgens is going to slide in. He's played football for them. And then we'll figure out what they do at right guard. But they drafted Tyler Steen a year ago to help them with that. So the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line will be the best offensive line that Saquon Barkley has played behind. And here's the thing. 4 of the 6 years Saquon has been in the league, you're talking about him being north of 1,200 yards from scrimmage. So it's exciting to think about how good Saquon Barkley can be when the offensive line can actually create space for him.
Can I just add one other point that the add-on piece is such a great point by you? Let's remember something, ladies and gentlemen. The San Francisco 49ers got to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey. They didn't win it. You know what they did? They went out and got Christian McCaffrey. They didn't get him before they realized they were good. They got him after they realized they were good.
Yeah.
And
that's
It's not the starting piece. It's the finishing piece.
I love that phrase.
But here's what I will say. The Philadelphia Eagles got a lot more work to do. A lot more work to do. I like Bryce Huff, and that's going to help. But the back end of their defense is trash. And that's the part that they got to get fixed. They need to be calling the Kansas City Chiefs and try to trade for Legarius Sneed. Because the back of their defense last year was what led to their undoing. I mean, you're talking about their pass coverage allowing the third worst QBR by opponents, second most passing touchdowns, second most passing yards. They're old in their secondary. They got to get that retooled. I love James Bradbury. I love Darius Slay. But they need some fresh young legs out there. Legarius Sneed would be somebody that would fit the bill. We've seen a couple of trades yesterday. When it came to guys on the defensive side of the ball, Carlton Davis and Brian Burns, the Philadelphia Eagles, Harry Roseman, need to be calling the Kansas City Chiefs trying to get Legarius Sneed.
Is there a player that we would say in sports cannot go to another team because of loyalty? Anyone. Like, could Steph Curry can go to the Lakers if he wants?
Well, yeah, he's won 4 championships for the Warriors. Like, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Then there sure as hell should not be a conversation about Saquon Barkley, because the Saquon Barkley era with the Giants, both ways, produced
nothing. They didn't want him.
Yeah, and they didn't want him.
Like, how can you blame him for leaving if they didn't want him?
I agree.
I'm not blaming him.
But I don't think there's anybody. Pujols, could he have gone to the Cubs?
He chose to leave, which is enough. It kind of didn't matter where he went.
Right. How in 2024, when we know the sports landscape, we may not like it, but we know there's no loyalty both ways, especially when somebody says, I don't want you.
Yeah, if the situation was different and the Giants were offering him more money and he elected to leave and go to Philadelphia, then maybe we would have a little bit of a conversation.
But they're also a better team.
True, but maybe then you could have a little bit of a conversation about do Giants fans have a right to feel a type of way about it? But no, they did not want him. This has been happening for seasons now, and I commend them for making the move, because somebody who you drafted that high, who's been productive, who's been the face of your franchise, a lot of times it's not easy to let that person go, and they did it. and they made some really smart moves yesterday.
I agree with you. I think they made the right move letting him go, and I think CeCe's right. They made the wrong move retroactively drafting him, but I think many of us said that at the time as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is there any loyalty? Like, is there any player who can't go to a certain team? Because the Saquon Barkley argument has gotten utterly ridiculous, at least in our eyes. All right, we'll get your calls in. But coming up, we got CC's Power Rankings, top five most impactful free agent signings. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number five to number one.
The best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Oh, yes, we got the football music popping off, and we got the cash flying out the door. It's NFL free agency. So, Smalls, we got new faces in new places, and it's the top five most impactful free agent signings. Now, again, the caveat is this has got to be somebody that is new to the team. It can't be somebody that was retained. So that takes the Chris Jones of the world off the board. Those guys are not going to be included in this conversation. But we got to start with the most impactful free agency signings. And I'm going with my guy, Saquon Barkley, at number five. Do we have the sounder?
Number five.
Saquon Barkley signing with a division rival in the Philadelphia Eagles. Who says you can't go in the division and sign with a rival? Saquon Barkley, I mean, he gets the bag, over $12 million a year, and it couldn't happen to a better player or person. I'm so happy for him. He doesn't have to go too far away from home. He's going back to the state of Pennsylvania where he played his college ball, made a name for himself. It's exciting to see him as a part of that offense with Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, and Jalen Hurts. The offensive line will be the best that he's ever played with. And I think Saquon Barkley will help the Philadelphia Eagles get back to the identity that we saw in 2022, where they dictated the complexion of the game. They dictated the terms of engagement. They fought the fights. They fought the games on their terms. They've got to get back to that. Saquon Barkley helps them do that. Next.
Number four.
The Detroit Lions, my former teammates, Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn, trade for cornerback Carlton Davis from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I love this trade. We know that Detroit had to do something with their secondary because they were absolutely trash bags. I mean, they were garbage juice. You know that stuff that's in the corner of the dumpster that stinks to high hell?
That can leak out of the bag?
That is what the Detroit Lions secondary was last year. 27th ranked pass defense in yards and touchdowns. Carlton Davis is a top flight corner. Of course, we know that he won a Super Bowl, so he's got a little bit of that championship pedigree. Adding that on the back end of that defense to go along with Cam Sutton and Brian Branch, I think that's a step in the right direction. We've seen that Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn are all about culture changers. Yes. So being able to bring somebody from a winning program that that expects to have that high level success once we get to the postseason is going to be important for Detroit in order to get to where they wanted to go. They addressed an area of need with a fantastic player, a bigger corner, and you know how I love guys that have size, especially on the back end. I think this is an outstanding get by Detroit.
Top five free agent or new acquisitions, guys who joined new teams yesterday. CC's power rankings. We got Saquon of Eagles 5, Carlton Davis to the Lions 4, number 3.
That's Russell Wilson.
Yes.
To the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is he the Man of Steel now? Did he go from Mr. Unlimited to the Man of Steel? I don't know.
I don't know. That's
but Russell Wilson with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, this guy had 26 passing touchdowns last year. That was more than the Pittsburgh Steelers offense has had over the past two seasons. Russell Wilson, for everybody calling this guy washed up, he had 4 game-winning drives last year. And you know with Mike Tomlin, they're going to play closely contested games. Who's to say that Russell Wilson can't be the difference in a handful of plays that can get the Pittsburgh Steelers on the winning side of those close matchups? Again, the Steelers' offense was absolutely anemic last year. In 6 of the 7 losses, their offense had 13 points or less. Russell Wilson will help them be more productive, not just in the passing game, but with their offensive output overall. Next.
Number 2.
The New York Giants trading for Carolina Panthers pass rusher Brian Burns. Now listen, they gave up a 2nd and a 5, but I think it's money well spent. It's draft picks well spent. They made this guy the second highest paid edge rush player in league history, but Brian Burns is just that damn good. And if you don't believe me, just go watch the tape. But just looking at the potential that the New York Giants now have on their defensive front, they've got Dexter Lawrence, All-Pro, Kayvon Thibodeau, who had 11.5 sacks in his sophomore campaign, and now you add a guy in Brian Burns, who is absolutely a sack artist. The last time the New York Giants had 2 double-digit sack guys, I was on the damn team. It was 2010. So that means to say it's been a long time ago. But, I mean, Brian Burns has done a phenomenal job at being able to get after the quarterback. In 5 seasons down in Carolina, the guy's got 46 sacks. So you know he knows how to rush the passer. He's a Pro Bowl-level player. I just think adding him helps you to forge an identity on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't blame the Giants for reallocating the resources that you would invest in Saquon Barkley into going after a pass rusher like Brian Burns.
I absolutely love this move for the Giants as they work out their identity on offense. I love that they're adding to a strength. And you're right, this is going to be the identity of the New York Giants, this tough defense. But gosh, if you're Carolina, you're getting this return when you could have gotten 2 firsts for Burns. You should have just moved off when you had that option.
Yeah. But here's the other thing I love about Brian Burns. He's always available. I mean, the guy's always available. I mean, he's played in 80 games in 5 seasons. That's absolutely phenomenal. The guy has only missed, count him, you're talking about 4 games in his career.
So he's 4. Reliable in health, reliable in production.
There you go. So if you're the New York Giants, this is the kind of player that you would target. And I love the fact that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are letting it be known what they want to do. We are going to build our team in the trenches, and that's when the New York Giants – stylistically have had the most success in their franchise's history. Mm-hmm. But there can only be one of most impactful free agent signing, new face, new place, and that would be
number 1.
Kirk Cousins going to his wife's hometown, the Atlanta Falcons, getting the bag, 4 years, $180 million with $100 million guaranteed. I think this is an outstanding get for the Falcons. They are the presumptive favorite to win the NFC South. And I don't think it should be particularly close. Like, I know everybody wants to give the Tampa Bay Bucks their flowers and their respect, but when you look at these rosters, they're not close. The Atlanta Falcons are better. And based on what the salary cap constraints and the salary cap casualties that the Bucks have had, I think this is, barring health and injury, the Atlanta Falcons are going to waltz to a division crown. That's how bullish I am on the Atlanta Falcons. This is not just a team that can have double-digit wins. I think this is a team that can actually do some damage once they get into the tournament. And I know people don't feel like Kirk Cousins is that kind of quarterback that can put you over the top. But for the Atlanta Falcons, with all the premium picks that they've invested in other areas of their team, this is the guy that can get them to where they want to go, can unlock the potential of all the talent that they have on their roster. This is how we see the best of Kyle Pitts. This is how we see the best of Drake London. This is how we see the best of Bijan Robinson. All of those guys, top 10 picks, we see them at their best because of a quarterback like Kirk Cousins. So that's the list. Kirk Cousins, number 1 most impactful free agent signing. followed by the Brian Burns trade, followed by the Russell Wilson signing, followed by number four, the Carlton Davis trade, and then number five, Saquon Barkley. Smalls, you are my accountability partner. Mm-hmm. Any objections, any omissions?
No objections, no omissions. Love the list. And I was just thinking as you were going through this that Kirk O'Chain's got his grill just in time.
Hello.
To head to Atlanta. Hello. He's going to be a cult favorite there. They're absolutely going to love him.
No doubt, no doubt.
And we know that Kirk Cousins has been a very productive quarterback in his career. What you said about the playoffs, it got me thinking. This might be his opportunity to change the big knock on him, which is that he hasn't had the playoff success that you would expect from him. And this division with that team, this could be an opportunity for him too to really change the way we view him as a playoff performer.
I got a couple of I'm surprised you didn't mention.
What's up?
You love Christian Wilkins and you love Antonio Pierce.
Love him.
Yes, that's another
so
good
the
one.
Former Dolphins defensive lineman joining your former teammate with the Raiders, I thought maybe you were going to go there. So that's one.
I love the player. Don't know that it's going to make a material difference if they don't get the quarterback thing figured out.
Well, they have Gardner Minshew now, and they'll draft someone.
Like I
someone.
Said, I don't know what's going to make a material difference if they don't get that
I think
out.
He's better than you do, but okay. Josh Jacobs to Green Bay.
Like it.
Like don't it. Love it?
Don't love it.
You think it's just trading pieces for Aaron Jones, in essence?
Yeah, I mean, I think Josh Jacobs is a better player at this stage in his career, but I don't think that the production or the output is going
to
be different.
The other one that I thought, Xavier McKinney to Green Bay. A safety from
That's
the Giants.
That's a lot of money for a safety. That's a lot of money, dog. I am happy for Xavier McKinney. He's played a lot of football to be just 24 years old, but $17 million a year? $17 million a year good? I don't know.
Two other quick ones that I like that are kind of lesser ones, but I'm curious to know thoughts on this. I liked Gabe Davis to the Jaguars.
Jaguars had a big day. Devin Duvernay being able to go after him and get him. I like what the Jacksonville Jaguars. Darnell Savage is another one that they were able to go out there and sign. I like what the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing.
The next one, under the radar, but I think this guy's going to be good because of Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator. Andrew Van Ginkle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Minnesota,
linebacker
yeah, from Miami Dolphins, yeah.
He plays all over the field. Just some maybe some sleeper ones there. I don't know that any of them.
He's a high-motor guy, Noah. No doubt about it.
Flores, that guy, love that guy.
That guy doesn't stop. He's the type of guy you got to kill in a bar fight. That is Andrew Van Ginkle.
And Flo, that's his kind of guy.
That is. Also, Jonathan Grenard going to the Minnesota Vikings, too.
I kind of like what the Vikings did.
Yeah, listen, they had
not the Kirk Cousins.
They
part
had
of it.
To upgrade their pass rush. They did that in smart moves. I like the moves that they made. I like them. I mean, you let Davenport and you let Danielle Hunter go, but being able to get those two guys is going to cushion the blow from those free agent departures.
So coming up, we've got to define what does all in mean. Is it synonymous for nothing? We'll explain next. It's on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So I'm not sure how everyone defines all in, but no moves on day one? Is that all in? The Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, saying he's going all in this year. Yeah, so let me look at my list here of... I don't see anything. What does all in actually mean if you don't do anything? Just so I understand this, guys.
Well, maybe all in means we're going to figure out our quarterback's contract situation before we address anything else because he's the most important piece of this puzzle.
Well, they got about a day and a half now to figure that out.
Maybe that's – I'm just throwing some things out there. Maybe that's where they're going with this.
Yeah, but here's what doesn't make sense. The salary cap went up $31 million, so everybody had more money to spend than they were budgeting for than they expected. And for the Dallas Cowboys to sit on their hands – and seemingly do nothing doesn't make any sense. Like the Dallas Cowboys, this was the time for them to get aggressive. I mean, for your big move or your big priority this offseason was trying to sign Zach Moss, who went to the Cincinnati Bengals on a 2-year, $8 million deal. I feel like you're missing the mark. I think this is the Dallas Cowboys overvaluing their draft picks and prioritizing paying their own and trying to operate under the old mantra that the Green Bay Packers used to do once upon a time. Only problem is the Green Bay Packers had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers as their quarterbacks. You got Dak Prescott. And that's not to disparage Dak, because he had a fine season. He was an all-pro. But there are levels to this. And for the Dallas Cowboys not to try to get aggressive while they're at the tail end of their window with this current core of players to win a championship just doesn't make sense to me, Ev.
Now, I agree based on the words that Jerry Jones put out there, right? We're just following his lead. If he never said that, and you told me that the Cowboys didn't make any big moves on day one, I could spin it and say, well, maybe they're sitting back. We've talked about Bobby Wagner, linebacker for the Seahawks. Maybe they were smart to not bring back Tony Pollard or to not overpay for Zach Moss. Because, look, Joe Mixon is now available. Aaron Jones, Packers running back, unexpectedly available. That the great teams usually do things before free agency and after day one.
Yeah.
Look at the Chiefs.
Yeah, you usually don't want to get involved in the first 72 hours of free agency. And there's still time for the Dallas Cowboys to do some things, right? We talked about them addressing the interior of their defense, addressing their defensive line, addressing their linebacker. Like, you can still go out and sign a guy like Bobby Wagner. You can sign recently released Eric Armstead from the San Francisco 49ers. Both of those would be huge upgrades for that defense, that front seven. And I think that puts them closer to being able to win a championship. Now, I don't know what those moves would cost, but presumably it'd be less than what we're seeing come off the board right now when teams are paying an absolute premium for guys that are just hitting the free agent marketplace. So I'm not going to panic just yet, but make no mistake about it. This is not the offseason where the Dallas Cowboys rely on the whole draft and develop mantra and only want to worry about extending their own guys. They need to go outside of the organization and look for help to fortify some of the deficiencies that are on this team that allow them to get embarrassed at home by the Green Bay Packers. They absolutely have to do that. That game in the wild card round this year show them that the Dallas Cowboys are further away from the championship than anybody anticipated a team that's won 12 games in three consecutive seasons would be.
Despite being so bombastic and larger than life, Jerry Jones is surprisingly patient in certain arenas in his football life. But I did expect the Dallas Cowboys to act with a little bit more of a sense of urgency, knowing that your quarterback's contract situation has not worked out, and neither is your head coach. They have a very short window and a finite amount of time to capitalize on the talent that they've acquired and win a Super Bowl. And knowing that, I expected them to be a little bit more aggressive.
So all of that, all fair conversation that we've had, all measured, all reasoned between the three of us here. Now let's get a little wild because they've asked us to. What do I mean by that? This is what the Cowboys don't need. This tweet from Tad Prescott, the brother of Dak Prescott. Yeah. So if it wasn't clear already, it is now. The Eagles have the best front office in the NFL. Hashtag how about them Cowboys. I believe that was right after Saquon signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. But wait, there's more. Terrence Parsons Jr., that's Micah's brother. One thing the Cowboys won't do this year is have me believing we actually going to do anything like make an NFC championship game. I promise y'all, you won't hear it from me. This is what they don't need. I don't know how many times we've sat here and had the conversation about star athletes having to say to their family, listen, I'm in the public eye, you're not. I need to be the only voice in this family. You cannot speak on my behalf, because what happens are people like Small, CeCe, and Evan will take your opinions as my opinions. And whether that's fair or not, CeCe, you've told the story about having conversations with your family about, hey, you've got to resist this stuff because it's my voice, not yours here. This doesn't help. This does not help.
No, it doesn't help, but what are you going to do? Like, that's the part.
You got to shut him down.
Well, how do you shut him down? You can't control him. Dak can't control him. His brother is his own man. Like, I mean, it's not going to be to the detriment of Dak Prescott. I think Dak is going to get his money, whether the Dallas Cowboys give it to him or not. So, I mean, what is the downside of Tad Prescott speaking his mind? He's going to get a podcast that's going to be popular? He's going to get more impressions on social media? Like, these days, people are monetizing that kind of stuff. So, I get it. It makes it more uncomfortable. Which is why, if you're Jerry Jones, you have to reconsider how you've operated, how you've done business. I mean, from everything from your weekly hits on local radio to giving your head coach and quarterback long-term security so there aren't these looming questions, that feel like this ominous cloud over the 2024 season before it even gets kicked off. So that's the scary part about Dallas. It feels like there are these other things that are detracting away from the focus being on competing at the highest levels and your guys being at their best when it matters the most.
Yeah, and having family members tweet out disparaging things about the team doesn't help matters at all.
No.
And even though you're right, these guys are their own men and they have their platform and can say what they want, it's at a detriment to their family members who are playing because it's out for public consumption and it's prompting us to talk about it. It doesn't get them any closer to winning a Super Bowl by having them say this. It certainly doesn't take any of the circus out of the Dallas Cowboys by having family members be disparaging about the team. And I don't know if you're Dak Prescott, how, for example, how you shut something like that down, but I think I would be having a pretty pointed conversation with my family members saying, you're not doing anything to help my situation by saying all of this.
That's exactly how I feel. Like, listen, you want to be a part of this? You want to be a part of my everyday professional life? I'm not cutting you out of my life altogether, but like, I can't have you speaking on my behalf because I'm not actually employing you to speak on my behalf. And the Cowboys drama, like the problem again goes back to Jerry Jones of even alluding to the idea of all in, because all in makes us think that they're going to get big name free agents or trades on day one. That does not mean that they cannot upgrade their team. They can. But they see their biggest rival, one of their biggest rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles, making the moves they made yesterday, and they're jealous because they know they need a running back, and Saquon Barkley would have really excited that fan base. It may not have been the best move for them. They may need other things, which we've pointed out, the middle of that defense, but they're jealous. That's the core of all of this. It's just jealousy. They are jealous of what their opposition is now doing. And they got Saquon, and the Cowboys did not.
Well, here's the thing, though. The Philadelphia Eagles have gotten to a place where the Dallas Cowboys haven't for, what, 27, 28 years now, which is the conference championship game, which is the Super Bowl. That's what Cowboys fans are looking at. And so you're wondering, has the approach that Jerry Jones has taken post-Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer actually been one that's been successful? Maybe it's successful when it comes to the bottom line, but it hasn't been successful when it comes to the team being able to win at the highest level. And that's the source of the frustration. If you've been doing business a certain way and it hadn't been working out, then maybe you should pivot and try a different approach. But Jerry Jones has been resistant to that. And so far this offseason, it seems like it's more of the same.
Yeah, he's not really one to say, I'm wrong.
No.
My approach is not the right approach.
You don't think Jerry Jones is a my bad kind of guy? No. That's on me. 888-SAY-ESPN is the telephone number to jump in. Is there any loyalty in sports and should there be? Plus, Kirk Cousins heading to Atlanta. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.